Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Hayomi Bava Basra Chav Beis. We are holding on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, 11 lines off the top of the Amud. We begin with a story of Hanu Dikuloi. There were these basket dealers. Another pshat in Rashi is Meichrei Yoyres. They were pot dealers, right? Selling pots and vats. So they imported their merchandise to the city of Babel. Daisu Dikloi, Dikuli, Le Babel. Babel was both the name of a land, Babel, and also it was a name of a city, of a town. So they came to Babel to sell their wares. Also, Bnei Mosa, so the local residents came along and they tried to block them from introducing competition to the local merchants. Kama Akvi, Ilvayu. Also come into Ravina. They come to Ravina. Amar Lui tells them, look, Me Alma Osu, La Alma Lizbenu. They're not going to sell to the locals. Rather, it's going to be market day, right? Coming soon. So every so often they had this international market day where visitors would come, buy and sell their wares. So Me'alma also true. They come from elsewhere. And we learned yesterday, according to all opinions, a guest, a visitor, has no right to compete with a local. But here it's different because they're not selling to locals. Let them sell to the visitors who are coming to visit that market from elsewhere. It sounds from Tosfos like they can't even sell to locals. So they have to confirm that in fact their customer is a visitor. According to other Mefarshim, once they're allowed to sell in the market, the whole setting is a totally different type of setting, which allows for suspension of this restriction, meaning they can go and sell during the market time, regardless of, you know, the identity of their customer. Because primarily, you know, it's meant for visitors, it's an international market, and they have a right to do that. But again, this is strictly pertaining to the day of the Shuk. But otherwise they can't. And even on the Yom HaShuk, it only works if they're selling it at the market, but to make their rounds around the town, that they can't do. Okay, so although we learned that a foreigner, a guest, a visitor cannot compete with a local merchant, but during the Yom HaShuk it's different. Here comes another story about an importer. Hanu Amurai. They were these wool merchants. The Aisu Amra, Lipum Nahara. They brought their merchandise to the town of Pumnahara. Also B'nai Masa, Kamakvilai. Once again, the locals protested, wanted to prevent them from selling their merchandise, lest they present a competition to the local. They're encroaching on the local merchants. Also come to Rav Kahana. They come to Rav Kahana. Amar Lahu. And he tells them, look, the locals are right. Dinahu de ma'akve alaychu. The local residents are following the halacha. They have a right to stop you from selling. Amrulay, so they responded, well, we've already sold some of our merchandise on credit, and we have to wait around until we collect the balance owed to us, and we have to live. We have to have where to live from, support ourselves during this time, during these, you know, few days, until we collect our accounts. Islan Ashroy. Ashroy means credit. B'masa. We have some customers who purchased on credit. Amrulay, we told them, Zilu Zavnu Shiur Chiyusaychu. Okay. Then you're allowed to sell only as much as you need to sustain yourself. Chiyusaychu. Ada Krisi Ashray Ditchu. Until you collect all your accounts. Vazlisu. And then you leave. We have a third story. Ravdimi Menahardo. He was a Talmud Chacham. Icy Grey Grois Besfina. He imported some dried figs by boat. And some of Farshim learn it was a Yom HaShuk, right? It was a market day. He had a right to sell, despite the fact that he was a foreigner. Amalei Rish Galusa, so the Rish HaKol, the head of the community, instructed L'Rava, told Rava, who was the big Chacham, the big Rav in town, go confirm that in fact this Yid, Rav Dimi Min Harda, is a Talmud Chacham, which would grant him special rights, special privileges granted to Talmid Chachamim, where they would basically ask everybody to stop selling their merchandise. So let's say in the case of these figs, nobody would sell figs until the Chacham sold his figs first. He got priority, which will ensure that he has a successful business experience. So Resh Galusa told Rava, Puk Chazi, go take a look, go check him out. Itzurva Mira Baranhu, if in fact he's a Talmud Chacham, worthy of this privilege, Nokedle Shuka, you'll stop the market, basically, he'll halt all sales of figs until he gets his chance. So could you please let me know? Amalei Rava, so Rava went ahead and sent his Talmud, Rav Adabar Abba. Go check him out. Go ask him some questions. Interview him. Poik, go out. Tohi le bekankani. Smell his barrel, his jug. It's an expression, Rashi says, which applies to wine, right? They take a smell, take a sniff, to see if it's in fact wine or spoiled wine. Okay, so basically check him out. Give him a little, quiz. Nafak, he went out. Azal, he went. Boimine, and he asked him the following exotic question. Pilsha balak fifa mitzvahs. We have an elephant that swallowed a basket made of arava branches. V'yikia derech beis harei, and discharged it as it would regular waste. Mau, what is the status of that container? Is it considered like a kli which is susceptible to tumah, like any other kli? Is it makabal tumah, or is it not makabal tumah? Tosfos actually explains, based on a Gemara in Menachos, which has this very same question, that we're not speaking about an actual kli which was swallowed, because if it came out intact, it wouldn't lose its status. It's still a kli. Rather, we're speaking that the animal swallowed these branches, a bunch of these branches, and going through its digestive system, they got entangled and attached, and they came out in a kli form. So the question is, do we treat it like a regular utensil, which is a makabal tumah, or do we say, just like clay gelolim, utensils made from animal waste is not makabal tumah, this as well is considered clay gelolim because it was produced within the animal's digestive system. Interesting question. So that was the question he asked Rav Dimi Min Harda. Well, he didn't have an answer. So Rav Adabar Abba wasn't impressed. Now Tosfos asks, what do you mean? This was the same question asked in the Gemara, and the Gemara didn't either have an answer. So he says, true, but it was expected of him at least to present, similar arguments and factors and proofs as per the Gemara. He didn't do so. He didn't have an answer. Amar Leis, Rav Dimi, the guest, was kind of like intimidated by his interviewer, Mar Nihu Rava. Are you the famous Tzaddik, the famous Chacham Rava? I'm very, impressed by you. Tafach lebisandale, so Rav Adabar Abba responded to him a little bit, with a sort of a lack of respect. He took a stick and he tapped him on his sandal. Amar Le, and he says, I'm not Rava. Bein didi le Rava, between me and Rava, we're light years away. Ikatuba, much, much, much space between us in terms of our status. I'm nowhere near Rava. Miu al karchach, but certainly I know Rabach. I'm your Rebbe because I wasn't impressed with your lack of response. The Rava, and the truth is that Rava is Rabbah the Rabach, is the Rebbe of your Rebbe. So it's basically you on the bottom, me over you, and Rava on top of me. So because of this sort of failed experience, lo enoch to leishuka, they didn't instruct the townspeople to give him priority. Pasid Gregor is today, and perhaps he wasn't the most proficient businessman, and he was not successful. He didn't sell his stuff, and it got, he lost it. It got spoiled. So now he had a major loss. Also, he came to Rav Yosef. So he came to Rav Yosef to complain. Amar Leh, he tells him, Chazi Mar, my Avdali, do you see what they did to me? Amar Leh, so Rav Yosef responded pretty harshly. Man Deloy Shahay Elu Nisa. the one that did not delay retribution on account of the embarrassment, the Malka the Edom experienced by the King of Edom, meaning Hashem, who responded forcefully and punished those who ridiculed the King of Edom, Loinish Haye Lo Nisech should also not delay punishment in retribution to the bizarre embarrassment that you suffered. What was the story of Edom? Hashem says, Al Shloisha Pishay Moyav, I will relent temporarily on account of the three violations of Moyav, but on the fourth one not. Well, Arba Alaya Shivin, that I will not delay. What did they do? Al Sarfu Atzmais Melech Edom Lesid, they burned the Edom king to the Sid, to lion, they embarrassed, they degraded him. So Rabbi Yosef was sort of issuing like a decree, a klala, for causing Rav Dimi loss. Who passed away? Noch nafshi de Rav Adabar Abba. So Rav Adabar Abba, who interviewed Rav Dimi, passed away. Rav Yosef Amash, Rav Yosef responded with an anguish. He says, oh, I'm at fault. I caused that. Ano amishte. Why did I not let Yaisei? I cursed him. Rav Dimi Merado Amar, Rav Dimi, whose merchandise was lost, he took the blame on himself. Amar Ananishta, I was the catalyst for Rav Adabar Abba's passing. The Afsid Gregor Stadim, because it was my merchandise that he caused me to lose. So I'm at fault, and Tosis explains. What were these Amoraim doing? We're going to have a total of five different versions. Different Amoraim who took blame for what happened. He says, because it's not a positive thing for a tzaddik to be a conduit, to be a cause, for even a Rasha's punishment. Right? Because basically the retribution is going through him, through the tzaddik. It's not a positive thing to be a catalyst for that. So they were all taking blame for what happened. First Rabbi Yosef, then Rav Dimi. Abaya Omar, he says, I'm at fault for a totally unrelated reason. Anog, Anishte, I caused him to die. The Omar Lula Rabbanu, because Rav Adabar Abba was accustomed to telling the Chachamim, don't go learn Torah by Abaya, go to Rav's Yeshiva. You'll do better there. Adamagrumisu Garmi bones. Before you start, you know, sucking bones by Abaya in his Yeshiva, meaning not learning Torah in a satiating way, to Achle Bisra Shmein Abaya, go! Have fatty meat by Rava. Go learn by him. So he's sort of putting down Abaye's learning. And Abaye says, you know, I'm to blame because Hashem was responding and protecting my honor. And therefore he died. Rava says, I take the blame. I'm the one that caused him to get killed. For a totally different reason. Because when Rav Abba would come to the butcher shop, the Mishkel Umtza, to buy meat, Amalu Tapchi, you instruct the butchers, Ano Shakil Nabistra, let me get the meat. Mekamei Shami the Rabbi, before Rava's servant. So he was there with Rava's servant. He says, I go first. Tano, defimine, because I'm greater than Rava. So by sort of comparing himself to Rava, and putting Rava down, Rava says that was the cause of his punishment. And finally, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, I'm at fault. Ano Anishti. Why? Again, a totally unrelated story. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Reish Kalahava. He was the one who would give the public shiurim on Shabbos. So Kol Yom, every time, Mekamid Neilu Chala, before he would go on to have his shiur, he would review it with Rav Adabar Abba. By the way, Tosfos says it wasn't Rav Adabar Ahava. That's a totally different person. Here is Rav Adabar Abba. In any case, he was his partner, his chavrusa. Marat Ba'adei Rav Adabar Abba. Lishmait, Rav Adabar Abba would review the upcoming shiur with him, to give clarity and preparation for the shiur, Bahadur Ayala Kala, and he would go on to give his presentation. How Yaima, it so happens to be that on this day, he got delayed. Rav Adabar Abba didn't show up on time. Naktua, why? He was held back by Rav Papa, Rav Huna Yeshua. They were holding up Rav Adabar Abba. Why? They had some questions to ask him. Mishum Delo Yehava B'Siyuma, because they failed to attend the session in the Beis Medrash called Siyuma, Rashi says, the end of the Perek of Maser Behema, the end of Bechayres, where Rava went through different halachas, and they missed that session. They wanted to catch up with him. Amrle, they asked him, Emelon Mar, please tell us, Hani Shmaitz and Maser Behema, all those halachas in the Perek Maser Behema, Hechay Avrinon Rava, How exactly did Rabbah say it? And he responded in great detail. Rabbah said Azoy, Rabbah said like this. And by the time they were finished, as this was going on, it got very late. Rav Nachman Yitzchak failed to go into the shir. It was past 9 o'clock, it was getting late because his chavrus hadn't shown up. He wasn't really well prepared. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Rabban in attendance, turned to Rav Nachman, what's going on? Why are we waiting? Kum, get up, the Nagalon, it's getting late. Lama Yasamar, why are you sitting and waiting? Amrli told him, Yasivna, I'm waiting. And I find it hard to believe that my chavrusa just failed to attend, failed to show up to our daily, to our learning. He must have passed away, that's why he's not coming. I'm waiting for his coffin to show up. Become Mintra La Arsi. I'm waiting for the mitzvah, for the coffin, the Rav Adav Rab. And that's what happened at the Hochi. Sure enough, Nafa Kala, there's an announcement. The Nach Nafshe, the Rav Adav Rab passed away. Shkoga, Keshkoga, Hayoitse, Mipiel HaShalot, the Chacham says something, it has an effect. Umistavra, the Gemara concludes that in fact it is probable that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Anshe, that he in fact was the cause of the Einish because of what he said. Okay, so let's conclude. We had a story about the basket importers. They were able to sell to the people at the market. The wool importers were not, only as long as they were in town to collect their accounts. The story of Dim Mardo was not allowed, was not given that priority. And eventually Rav Adav Rab passed away, and we have five versions as to the reason. Okay, says the Mishnah. Oh, back to Harchakas Nezakim. Right? That you have to keep your distance from your neighbor's assets in anticipation of a possible future inflicting of damage. Mishnah Yekos Leisamuch. Leikos Lechaver. Okay, we speak about building a wall. So your wall is near your next door neighbor. You shouldn't build that wall. Unless you keep it 4 amah away from his wall. Why? We'll see in the Gemara. Furthermore, you have to respect his privacy and refrain from blocking his light. Let's say your neighbor has windows and you're building a wall next to it. Whether the wall is a bit higher than the windows. Whether it's a bit lower. You have to keep it 4 amis away. So if it's higher, go up all the way. Another 4 amis, lest you stand on top and peer down. If it's lower than the window, keep it 4 amis below the window, so you don't have the opportunity to stand on your wall and peer into the window. Ben Mekenegda, how far away opposite that wall to avoid blocking that light? 4 amis, you have to leave 4 amis. Now the Gemara is going to have a kash. Because the Mishnah begins by saying, if your wall was next to that neighbor's wall, don't put up the wall. You already have that wall. So it collapsed, it fell down. Why would you place that first wall next to your neighbor if you need to keep back 4 amis? It almost sounds like the first wall was built alongside, within 4 amis. And the second wall, when you're rebuilding it, then you have to keep it away 4 amis. Why and how? Who allowed you to place the first wall next to the neighbor's wall? Amar means like this. No, there was never a wall there. It's the first time he's building. The property line where theoretically he can put the wall is next to the neighbor's wall. But now you're going and building a wall for the first time. Only way you can build is by leaving 4 amis. Maska for Rabbi Azakash. V'hamisha here kais leisamuch lekais alchaveru katanin. Mishnah clearly indicates that there was already a pre-existing wall there, then it collapsed. So the question is, what was that first wall doing so close to the neighbor's wall? Elam Rabbi says Rabbi Chiktanin. Mishnah means like this: the first wall was 4 amos away, but then it collapsed, and he's rebuilding that wall. Misha yekoyis leisamach, lekoyis lechaver birochig 4 amos. Initially, he built the wall 4 amos away, as per the halach. V'nafal, now it fell down. He wants to rebuild the wall. Don't think that just because he had already left 4 amos and the the ground was already padded down by the people trafficking back and forth, which we're going to see in a minute is the primary reason for leaving the four amos, to firm up the foundation. So it was already done. It's an old wall. Still, don't think that when it comes time to rebuild that wall, you can build it close by. Even the second time around, you can't build it near, right near the first wall, right near the neighbor's wall. Elam can hear menu arba amos unless he leaves a four amos space between the walls. My time, what's the point of leaving four amos? The daf shel hacha, because the trampling over here, ma'ali la'asam, helps for the long term. It pats down the soil. It packs it down. It makes it firm, makes it stiff, and reinforces the foundations. Amarav le'shono. It's only a concern. Alkeis algina. It's a wall around a vegetable garden where there's nobody trampling on the inside, so you need at least the outside to be traveled and trampled and padded down. But if it's a wall around your chotzer, where there are people on the inside and the outside, there's no restriction. You can put your wall right next to your neighbor's wall because there are people on the other side of the walls, on the inside of the, on the interior of the chotzer, walking around, packing down the earth. Rabbi Yishai Amar, no. Rabbi Yishai Amar, whether it's a gina or a chatzar, you need to keep four amos away. In bal dismech, you can't place one wall next to the other. There's no machlekes really. V'lei pligi, no machlekes. Havir yeshana. He's speaking about an old city, an inhabited city. So the ground has been packed down. So if it's by a chatzar, there's no concern. Havir chadasha, but it's a fresh new town. Everything is still soft and mushy. There, even by a kaisel chotzer, this setback is required because the dafsha, the padding down by way of foot traffic, is important. So now, let's move on to the next part of the mission. Chaloinos, building a wall near your neighbor's window, requires distancing as well for privacy purposes, right? Ben milamalon, ben milamaton, ben mekenegna, arba amois. You have to keep it 4 amos away. But Tanya Lo, and the Bryce explains, Milmalon, so your wall is a bit higher than the window next door. That's not enough. Pick it up 4 amos above the window. You know why? Kadesh Lo Yatzitz Beir, so you shouldn't lean over it, peek into the window. Milmaton, it's the top of your wall. It is below your next door neighbor's window. You got to keep it really low. 4 amos below the window. Shlo Yamet Beir, so you're not tempted to stand on your wall and peek in. Umekenegden Shlo Yatzitz. And either way, you have to keep it away from that window, shalayapel, so that it doesn't block his light. Right, so you have to leave space between your wall and the window. Time is shalayapel. Oh, seemingly the concern is only blocking light. Aval mishum dav shalay. There's no concern about packing down the earth. Right, the Bryce makes no mention of that. Why not? If dafsha is the real concern, why is it ignored? It says the Gemara, hacha b'may skin, and you know why? Because here we're speaking about a case where it's not a factor. B'bama natsad. The wall that you're building is not parallel to your neighbor's wall. It's perpendicular to the wall. So in this case, there's enough open space. Right? So let's say his wall is going east-west, and your wall is jutting in north-south. Right? Even if you're not going to keep it 4 amos away from the wall, it doesn't matter because people can go on either side of your wall, alongside his wall, not blocking traffic. If it's parallel, so if you keep it too close, there's no way to move. You can't get through. There's no traffic going through. So you need 4 amos to allow for davisha. But going perpendicular, it's not really interfering with traffic. So we have no davisha factor there. The only factor we have is blocking light. So how far away from that window should it be offset? He was the father-in-law of the Ashim Bar Nidbach. Window's width. So basically, well, there's several ways to explain. Some Rishonim say a window is typically a tefach. Some say it's an amah. Some say whatever the window is. So let's say his window was 5 tefachim. So when you place your wall alongside his, perpendicular to his, you should move it away from his window that much. as wide as his window is, and that allows that to be sufficient to allow for the light to trickle in. Says the Gemara, "Valoi meitzitz." But if your wall is jutting into his wall, so even if it's higher or lower, you can still, you know, lean over and peek in. Amar Rav Zvid b'madris kesel was speaking that he slanted the top of his wall. So the top of the jutting wall is sort of leaning down and doesn't really allow for a convenient perch and peek. So there's no concern there. Asks the Gemara of Anantanan Arba Amis. Now, if you take a look at our Mishnah, and our Mishnah is also apparently speaking about the same type of arrangement, Tosfos says, because the Mishnah also, at least the last part of the Mishnah, does not allude to Davsha, to the trampling issue. It seems like it's only a concern about privacy or light blockage. So apparently we're speaking about the same type of configuration. Rather than two parallel walls, we're speaking about a perpendicular type of arrangement. If that's the case, why does the Mishnah mention four amis? V'anantnan arba amis. Mishnah says, v'kenegdan, how far away, right? How much offset do you need? Four amis. Why do you need four amis? We just said that kimloi rechav chaloin is enough, the size of a window. Like Kasha, the answer is kamroach achas. The brisa, which gives a smaller offset, is speaking, there's only one wall on one side of the window. So you offset it a bit, there's enough light all around. Kan mishte rucha. The Mishnah is speaking that there are two walls jutting in, one on either side of that window. So let's just picture, we have a wall that Reuben built going east-west. Shimon's coming along with two walls going north-south, one on either side of the window. So the window's sort of sandwiched between these two walls, not much light getting in there. In order to rectify that, you need four amma of space. Okay, so in conclusion, we have many concerns when we build walls. There's a point of allowing people to get through so that the ground becomes firm and packed down, which benefits the foundations. Right? That only applies if it's a Kaisel Gina or a Kaisel Chatzar by Ir Chadasha. It does not apply when the walls are perpendicular to each other. But we have other concerns, privacy and light blockage, as we mentioned. Tashma, it comes another Kasha. On this idea of Davisha. Vesa Kaisel Mina Maschila Arba Amis. So in a minute, we're going to see a Mishnah that you have to keep your wall away from the other fellow's eave trough. A four-armor gap. Why? Kadesh Yizoykev is Hasulam. To allow him some space to set up his slanted ladder, which gives him access to his eave trough for maintenance purposes. That's the Mishnah. Apparently, it's the only concern. What about Damsha? For his wall. You need space to get through, to pack down the earth. Time with Mishum Sulam. Apparently, it's only a concern because of ladder placements. Avo Mishum Dav Shalei, but Dav is not a concern. Why not? Answers the Gemara, you know why Hocha B'mayaskin was speaking Maschil Mishupas. His eave trough is perched at the edge of his slanted roof, which is jutting out of his house. So in that case, the Mishum Dav Shalei, if for the Dav Shalei concern, there's plenty of room alongside that wall. Because look, he has a house with a slanty roof coming out. And the if trough is quite a distance from his actual wall. The Mishnah is instructing his neighbor Shimon that when he builds a wall, it should be with adequate distance between himself and the if trough, which is very far from the actual wall of the house. And the point is to allow for the ladder placement. But if not for that issue, Davsha would not be a reason to compel Shimon to create a gap to pull back his wall from the eave trough, because there's plenty of space, walking space, until you get to the actual house, right? Under that overhang, there's plenty of space for people to walk back and forth and pack down the earth. It says the Mishnah, Marchikin Sasul Ben Ashoivach Arba Amos. So Shimon has a birdhouse on his side of the wall. Reuben has to be careful. He shouldn't place a ladder leaning on that wall if it's within four amma of the birdhouse. Kadei shaloi tikpoi tanamiya, lest the little animal, some type of rat, some type of weasel, jumps out from his hole and climbs up that ladder and skips into the birdhouse and attacks. Asks the Gemara, it appears that our Mishnah, which compels the neighbor to exude extra responsibility in taking precautions and preventing any future possible harm coming from his activities, is like Rabbi Yossi, it's not like Rabbi Yossi, dear Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not my business. Ha'amar, he says like this, there's no concern with, for instance, building, planting a tree alongside a neighbor's pit. Roots? Okay, we'll worry about it then. Zechayver b'seich shaloi, v'zenotei b'seich shaloi, you can dig, I can plant. We can't stop each other because there's no direct act of mazik taking place. So it would seem that our Mishnah, Rashi says, many other Mishnahs in our Perek as well, which instruct neighbors to be careful and, you know, taking extra precautions and anticipating any future possible harms and damages taking place. That's not going like Rabbi Yossi, who says that a potential victim, hey, he has to be aware. I don't have to take precautions. I feel the time Rabbi Yossi says, do you want to know our Mishnah kefalu Rabbi Yossi shita ha'omer Rav Ashi? Didn't Rav Ashi tell us? Ki avinu Rav Kahana, when we came to Rav Kahana, Havama, he would tell us, Maidu Rabbi Yossi, begir did they even Rabbi Yossi, who allows planting of trees without that distancing requirement, agrees that if it's giri did they, if the effect is felt immediately, like an arrow that's shot out, if the effect is immediate, he agrees you can't do that. Hachinami, that's the case over here by the weasel. Zimnin de bahati de monachle. It could happen that as you're placing down that ladder, boom, yasu bachar, the weasel who is hiding in a hole, notices an opportunity and jumps at the opportunity, literally. The cups and jumps out and accesses the birdhouse through your ladder. So that's a direct, immediate effect. And that's why you have to be careful in this case, even according to Rabbi Yossi. Asks the Gemara, but I understand the effect is immediate, but it's still indirect. I'm not actually personally attacking your birds. Vagramahu, it's just a grama. So why must I be careful on that? We know that if a person is mazik through a grama, he's potter. Amrav tubi bar kisna, you're right. After the fact, you're potter. But zaysa meris, we learn from here, grama bin zakin, being involved in causation of damages, although after the fact, you're perhaps not liable, but you're still usher, you're not allowed to do that. That explains the precautions that the Mishnah instructs us about. Let's summarize today's daf. We started with the story of the basket importers who were allowed to sell to the market people, the wool people who were allowed to sell as long as they were in town. We had a story about the figs and how Rav Adar Bar Abba passed away due to a possibility of five different causes. We had the halacha about keeping the wall away from the other wall in order to allow the foot travelers to pack down the earth. We have halachas about privacy, about blockage of light, and finally about a ladder placed by a birdhouse which works even according to Rabbi Yossi because of a possible immediate effect. All the best to you and aslachra.